الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders, ulama-i-kiram, huffaz-i-kiram, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you Suratul Asr, a chapter of time. Suratul Asr is in the 30th juz of the Quran Kareem. And it comprises of only three verses of the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, Wal Asr, I take an oath on time. Innal insana lafi khusr. Most definitely, most certainly, man is at a total loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. With exception of those people that bring iman, have faith, have correct aqidah and belief in Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and they do righteous actions and deeds. وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرُ. They enjoin one another, advise one another on haqq and truthfulness, and they enjoin one another on patience. In this verse, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala explains to us the value of time. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala complains to us about man's negligence on time. The most important thing that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us, you and I, is time. There is nothing more important to us than time. It is in time that we are born, it is in time that we live, and it is in time that we die. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali states that the most valuable thing in the sight of the Sahaba, in the lives of the Sahaba, was time. There wasn't anything more valuable to a Sahaba than time. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, اِخْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ شَبَابُكَ قَبْلَ هَرَمِكَ وَصِحَّتُكَ قَبْلَ سَقْمِكَ وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ وَفَرَاغُكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ وَحَيَاتُكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. Appreciate five things before five things. The first, appreciate your youth before old age. What a person can do in his youth, when he's young, he's got strong, his energy, he's got so much of time, he's able to do those things that a person wouldn't do when he's in old age. Appreciate the good health before sickness overtakes a person. Appreciate the wealth that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given before the person becomes without the wealth and before a person becomes poor. And appreciate the free time that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given before you get engaged in things and you don't have time. And then appreciate the life that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given before mouth and before death. It was a noble habit of the Sahaba. Some of the Sahaba, whenever they used to meet with one another, before they would depart, they would recite unto one another Suratul Asr, to remind one another on the importance of time and the value of life. Most respected elders and friends, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us this time. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us this life to value this life and to appreciate this life. And it is through this life we would make investment for the qabr, we would make investment for the akhirat. There was one king, he told to one of his royal courtiers, I've got 5 orchards. And I want you to take a basket and enter into all those 5 orchards and pluck whatever fruits you want from every orchard. But the condition is, the moment you pass through one orchard, you only can go forward, you can't come backwards. So this royal courtier, he takes the basket, he enters into the orchard, he looks at the first orchard, that the fruits are so good, they look so beautiful, and he thought to himself, that if I'm going to pluck the fruits from this orchard and fill the basket up, what will I take from the second orchard? He doesn't fill the basket. He then goes into the second orchard, and then he sees that the fruits there in the second orchard are even more better than the first orchard. And he thinks that lucky I did not pluck the fruits from the first orchard, I wouldn't have been able to take anything from here. But if I'm going to take anything from here, what I'm going to pluck in what I'm going to fill from the third orchard? So he goes into the third orchard. And he sees the same thing, there are so many fruits here. Everything is looking so beautiful, better than the first orchard and second orchard. Now if I'm going to pluck fruits from this third orchard, what I'm going to take from the fourth one? And with the hope of filling up the baskets with the fruits of the fourth orchard, he does not fill up fruits in the third orchard. He goes to the fourth orchard and he sees that it's even more better. And he thought, maybe I'll fulfill my wish, my desire, fill the basket up with fruits in the fifth orchard. But when he goes into the fifth orchard, he notices, he realizes that everything is bare. There's nothing there. Either the fruits are very, very old or very, very ripe. And there's no point in him plucking those fruits. But the king put a condition, the moment you enter into one orchard, you can't come out, you can't go backwards, you only have to go forward. And he comes out from the fifth orchard without anything. Most respected elders and friends, there are 5 cycles of life. One is as children. Then we come into our adolescence age, our youth. Then we become adults. Then we become middle age and then we become old age. And every cycle of life we say, we will do something in the next cycle of life. When a youth will think that when I'm in my middle age, probably I will do something at that time. And a person that's in the middle age, he thinks that when I become older, I will do something at that time. But we will never know whether we are going to live to see the next cycle of life. Our Sheikh, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hasan Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayh, always used to give us an example of a block of ice that is melting away. And he used to say it in a very unique way, that there's one person in a rural area, his source of income is to take a block of ice, come into the urban area and sell that block of ice. He leaves early in the morning, and if he does not sell that block of ice before the sun rises, the sun will melt that block of ice. And ice will melt away. He wouldn't sell any ice, and the person will go back home empty-handed, without any income. Likewise, our life is just like a block of ice. It's melting away every moment of our life. Every moment of our life is melting away. And we are getting closer and closer to a qabr. We are getting closer and closer to the akhirat. So we have to understand, we have to realize the value of time. We have to understand that we have to prepare for death. We have to realize that we prepare for life after death. And one day we're going to stand before Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to give an account of all our actions and all our deeds. One person travels from here to a foreign country. When he comes to the immigration, he's standing in the queue. He's right in the back and he's watching what's happening with all those people that are meeting up with the immigration officer. So from the back, he's seeing that there's one person that goes. The immigration officer asks him one or two questions. They stamp the passport and the person is gone through. And then he sees another person. The immigration officer takes probably extra time, 10 minutes more. Ask him a few questions, interrogate him, and send him through. And then he sees another person. The immigration officer tells him to go into the main office. He says, I'm successful. And then he realizes later on that that person has been deported. He is not granted entrance into the country. That is, and then while you're standing in a queue, you wonder what's going to happen to you, whether you are going to be successful or not. Likewise, respected elders and friends, we all of us are going to stand in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We have that fear when we're standing in the immigration queue. What fear should we be having before standing before Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? What guarantee do we have that we'll pass in front of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala? What guarantee do we have that we'll be able to successfully answer all the questions that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will ask us? That is imminent. We don't know when the angel of death will change the gears of our lives, and soon we'll have to start that long arduous journey towards the qabr and towards the akhirat. There was one king by the name of Shaddad. It was once asked to Malakul Maut, you have such a difficult task. You have to extract the lives of people. Such a difficult task. At any time while executing your responsibility, did you find it hard and difficult? So, the angel of death mentioned there were two instances where I found it very difficult. But because it was the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, I had to fulfill and execute that responsibility. One was, there was one woman who was conceived and she was about to give birth and she was in a very lonely island. Very far away island, she was all by herself, there were hardly any inhabitants there. She just gave birth and the child needed the mother. At that time, it was the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for me to take away the life of the mother. So I thought to myself that the child needs the mother more than anyone else at this time and point. The woman just gave birth now and the child is helpless. The child needs the assistance of the mother. And the second instance was when there was a very great powerful king by the name of Shaddad. When he heard about the palaces of Jannat, he heard about all the ni'mat of Jannat, and he thought to himself that I can prepare my own Jannat in this world. He took all his resources and all the wealth that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given him, he put up huge, huge palaces. And when the appointed time came for him to enter into the palace, he hardly put his foot in the palace that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala ordered the angel of death to take his life away. And before he could pass away, it was the same Shaddad. He mentioned, he put his hands together, clasped his hand, and he says that Ruhe Shaddad ki jab nikali gayi, haath malta gaya, aur kehta gaya, aisi jannat ka koi bharosa nahi. Say that, what bharosa do you have of this world, and what type of jannat is this? Where you're going to leave everything, and you're going to go it towards the qabr, and you're going to go it towards the akhirat. So it's very important for us to understand, to come to a point of realization, that this world is such that we are going to leave this world, and we have to prepare for death, if you prepare for life after death. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Al-Qayyisu man dana nafsa. Wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. That who is that intelligent person? Who is that person that got insight and basirat and foresight? It is that person who prepares for life after death. He knows that soon his time is going to come for him to leave this dunya, and he's going to carry on towards the qabr and the akhirat. And therefore, we have to make all possible preparation for us for our successful journey towards the akhirat. And in the recent past, I've been mentioning three prescriptions. Three things that every one of us should do to prepare for our qabr and to prepare for our akhirat. The first thing is our salat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing that a person will be accounted for in the akhirat, when he stands in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to question him about his salat. We should ensure, make sure that you do not miss out a single salat. And for those salat that we have missed out in the past, start making qaza of it. It's compulsory that we make qaza of our previous salat, of our previous salat that we have missed out. Whatever salat we have missed out in our lifetime, don't think it is 5 years salat, 10 years salat, 20 years salat. It is still compulsory upon us to make qaza of all our missed salat. And an easy way of doing it, once you made a firm intention that you're going to make your qaza salat, merely giving out fidya for your missed salat is not sufficient. If you have that life, you have energy, you have to make qaza of your musalat. And an easy way of doing it is that make a firm intention and determination that I'm going to start making qaza of all my salat. The stepping stone for anything and the stepping stone for reformation and becoming a better person is for a person to make a firm intention and resolution. So once you make that intention, then with every far salat, read another one salat. You don't have to make qaza of your sunnahs. You don't have to make qaza of nafal salat. Maybe make qaza of your far salat, including your witr salat. So as you do it and you start it off, then over a period of time, you calculate and you try to fulfill all your qaza salat. And at the same time, record it in your will. That I've missed out so much of salat. And should anything has to happen to me, should I pass away, then fidya of my missed salat should be given. And then keep on checking that estate, keep on checking the document on a yearly basis, 6 months, and keep on adjusting that thing, adjusting the document according to how much salat you have made qaza. The second most important thing for us to prepare for our qabr and our akhirat is our taharat, cleansing ourselves when we go and relieve ourselves. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, istanzihu min anil bawl, fa inna ammat azab al qabri minhu. When you go and relieve yourself, ensure that no urine drops come onto yourself, onto your clothing or onto your body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi mentioned that generally the punishment in the qabr is because of the urine drops and the impurity coming on the body of the person. It is mentioned in one hadith in Bukhari Sharif, marra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi qabarain. وَهُمَا يُعَذَّبَانَ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانَ فِي كَبِيرٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed two qabars, and both of the inmates of those graves were being punished. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to a sahaba that both of them are being punished, and they're not being punished for something that is difficult to abstain from. And one of the two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَا يَسْتَنْزِيُوا عَنِ الْبَوْلِ. When he relieved himself, then he would not exercise caution from the urine drops coming upon him. And the other person, Yamshi bin Namima, he would do gossiping. Had bad habit of gossiping, taking story from one place to another place, and from the second place to a third place, and then over a period of time bringing about friction and ikhtilaf and differences among the people. So these are the two things that will bring about, that become the means of punishment in the qabr. And the third thing for which we should prepare for our qabr and for our akhirat is prepare our wills and our estates. It is mentioned in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, لا ينبغي لمؤمن أن يبيت ليلتين ووصيته مكتوبة عنده. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, It's not appropriate for a mu'min, for a believer, to spend even two nights without his will being written down. The ulama have mentioned, this is in the case if you've got some financial dealings with people. You've got people's amanat by you, or you're amanati by someone, or if a person has creditors, if a person has debtors, you've got financial dealings, he's owing people money, people are owing him money, so he should record all that. It's not appropriate for a person to even spend two nights without his will being updated and recorded. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi, he was ill. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit him, and the first thing that was in the mind of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was about his wealth and how he's going to execute his wealth. So he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usi bimali kulli? Should I make wasiyat? Should I make bequest of my entire wealth? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him no, until Nabi sallam told him, As-sulus wa sulusu kaseer. That maximum wasiyat that you can make, after burial expenses, after paying the debts, from the remaining amount, one third of the estate, you could make wasiyat. And that too to a non-heir. This was the foremost thing in the mind of the Sahabi, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. He was afraid, should he pass away and he did not fulfill his responsibility, what would happen to him? Many people, they draw up the wills and the estates, it is totally out of line. Sometimes they consult the wrong people, and then when the person passes away, you find so much of fights and disputes taking place in the families. We deal with it all the time. And this comes from good people, people who are naik, pious, muttaqi, parizgar, but the wills are not according to Shariat. Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned that there's a man and a woman who make the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for 60 years. Very close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But because they did not draw the wills and estate according to Shariat, and after they pass away, family people are fighting among themselves, that person risked losing 60 years of his ibadat. So therefore it is very, very important. Many people think we have our own concept of what taqwa is. Sometimes we have our own concept of what shahadat is, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi mentioned that if a person has to drop his will, drop his estate, do it completely according to Shariat, consult with the ulama, that person would die in the state of shahadat. That person, he dies with a high level of taqwa and piety. And this is authentic ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it is very, very important for us that we fulfill these three responsibilities with all the other responsibilities, prepare for death, prepare for life after death, hisab and accountability in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Remember, the condition of death is very, very difficult. And at that time, shaitan comes and tries to rob a person of his iman. We must have heard of the famous incident of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Such a great jurist, such a great faqih. It is stated that when he had passed away, there were so many people carrying his janazah that there were 20,000 non-Muslims, Yahud, they merely seen the janazah of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and they accepted Islam. Such a great personality he was. He was on his deathbed. His children are around him, also great ulama, and they're making talqeen of the kalima la ilaha illallah. It is mentioned in the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, laqinu mawtakum bila ilaha illallah. Make talqeen when a person is about to pass away, recite the kalima by him. Don't instruct him, merely recite the kalima. If you recite the kalima, then you stop, you don't say anything, you keep quiet. So now they're reciting the kalima in front of their father, great jurist, who made great effort and sacrifices. And he's a center figure in the Islamic world. They're reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. But this great imam, instead of reciting the kalima, he's saying, La, 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 No, No, No. The sons are worried. They're concerned. Our father being such a great muhaddis, such a great faqih, make it talqeen of the kalima, La ilaha illallah. And he's saying, no, he doesn't want to read. That's what they thought. When he regained consciousness, This the father and said that we are reciting the kalima. And instead of reciting the kalima, you are saying, La, why are you not reciting the kalima? The great imam said that, I'm not saying La, I'm not saying no at reciting the kalima. The shaitan has come to me and the shaitan has told to me that, O Ahmad, you have freed yourself from me. I tried to trap you whole life, you have freed yourself from me. You are now dying in a state of iman, you have freed yourself from me. The great imam have said to a shaitan, La, I have not freed myself from you until I don't breathe my last in the state of iman. To die in the state of iman, if that was the condition of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, such a great jurist, making so much of effort and sacrifices, when that's the type of fear and concern they had about dying in the state of iman, what should be our condition and your condition? A poet, before I conclude, a poet, he very beautifully says, Tazawwad min ad-dunya. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي إِذَا جُنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّيْلِ تَعِيشُ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ وَكَمْ مِنْ صَحِيحٍ مَاتَ مِنْ غَيْرِ عِلَّةٍ وَكَمْ مِنْ سَقِيمٍ عَاشَ حِينًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ. He says that take your provision in this world. Take your provision from this world. Your salat, your nafil, your sadqah, your charity, whatever you can do in this world, do it in this world. And when the night comes, you'll never know whether they'll be alive till the morning. And then he further says that there are so many people who are good, healthy. They die without any sickness. And there are so many sick people, they outlive healthy people. And they say, وَمَّاتَ عَلْفًا أَوْ أَلْفَيْنِ. If a person has to live for 1 year, if 1,000 years or 2,000 years, فَلَا بُدَّ تَسِيرُ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ. Most definitely is going to go into a qabr, and most definitely the long arduous journey to the qabr in the akhirat is going to start, wherein the person is going to stand before Allah to give an account of his actions and his deeds. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat, make us understand the haqiqat and the reality of life. This life is all a deception, and it is for us to prepare for our qabr in the akhirat. Allah grant all of us husna khatima, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make our standing before him very easy and asan, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant all of us entrance into Jannatul Firdaus and Jannatul Na'im. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.